You are listening to Amplify Your Success Podcast, episode 41. And today I'm tackling the five most common mistakes entrepreneurs make with their teams that can literally obliterate your results. So let's get started.
Welcome to the Amplify Your Success Podcast. Hey, are you a thought leader, creative entrepreneur, or change maker and want to magnify your impact, boost influence while creating a financial abundance? Stay tuned for today's inspiring episode with your host, Melanie Benson.
Hello there, inspired entrepreneurs and business leaders. It's Melanie Benson here. And before we jump in, today's theme is on getting the best results from your team. So I want to share one of my most favorite resources I ever developed, and that's my Build Your Dream Team program. Why? Because whatever you are trained to do, whatever your superpower is, if it's not building it and leading a team successfully, then you're probably going to make a lot of really costly mistakes. I'd love to help you avoid making those mistakes by learning a very simple step-by-step system. You can find out all about it at builddreamteam.com. And even more importantly, read the testimonials and case studies with people just like you that use the system to hire their best performing team members and lead their team to high success by using the system. Now, let's get into today's episode. Early on in my career as an entrepreneur, I realized that if I hired other people to help me expand my ability to get things done, then I was going to have a much greater chance of getting successful faster. But I have to tell you, even though that I'd been building teams for a really long time in the Fortune 500 arena, there were some things I still had to learn. And a few times over and over and over again. And that's because when you're in that entrepreneurial, creative, I got to get things done fast, we tend to skip a few steps in order to accelerate getting to the goal. You know, it's funny, my first coach, same was Michael Stratford. And I hired him back when I was still working for corporate America to coach me on having the confidence and the courage to leave my cushy corporate job and really start my business successfully. And we worked together for almost 2 years, well into my time running my business. And one of the things he said over and over and over again to me is he said, "Melanie, you are like a bull in a china shop." He's like, "You are moving so fast, you're breaking things, and it's taking you 10 times longer to go back and fix them than it is if you just did them right the first time." I kind of thought he just was like off his rocker. He couldn't possibly know anything about me as an entrepreneur. And I was really like gung-ho. I had to get these things working. I had to be making money. But God, he was so right. I really did break a lot of things. And the place I broke a lot of things the most had to do with my team. Because I've probably made each and every one of the mistakes I'm going to tell you about. But the good news is, I'm a quick study. When I figure out I'm making mistakes and I learn the right way to do it, not only am I doing it right from that moment on, I can show you a path to getting a really great high-performing team without making these same mistakes. Now, if you're creative, if you consider yourself a fast-paced entrepreneur, if you're a high achiever, I'm going to be pushing a lot of buttons in this episode because, first of all, I get you, I am you. But I also learned that making those mistakes was not worth it. So let me tell you why you want to pay attention to these five mistakes and learn a more effective way to hire, train, and lead your team. First of all, it is really costly to make these mistakes and have to go back and do it again, especially when it comes to training a team. I worked with a woman several years ago, and she came back to me 3 or 4 times along the way. And it was funny because she's a real high achiever. She moved at the speed of light and she made every single one of these mistakes. And it took her 2 times to really check her ego and say, "You know what? You're right. I am doing this wrong." And guess what the catalyst was? She teetered on the edge of bankruptcy, and she kept building these teams and they would bail out on her because they were so frustrated with the way things were going. When you want to hire capable people, when you want to hire talented people that really can free you up, these 5 lessons will serve you well because you want to hire people that will stay with you and help you build a really awesome company. You don't want to have to keep finding new people, burn them out, and start the process over again. It's really not worth it. All right, let's talk about the first mistake. And this usually happens in the hiring method. And I call it the gut hire method. And that means most likely you've heard from me or someone else that it's time to hire. You know you are maxed out. You can't possibly do any more with the team you have, or if you're at the stage where it's still you by yourself. So you surrender, you get ready to hire, and you're so excited to get this first person. What you do is you go out, you maybe get a referral, you look online, you go into a couple of Facebook groups, you ask for some referrals, and you get on the phone, and the person on the other end makes you feel amazing. You're like, oh my God, this is the perfect person. Even if you've gone through a really arduous, let's just face it, a hiring process, and you've advertised, and you get that person that you love, and you hire them immediately. It's kind of like going out on a first date and marrying the person right then and there. I call it the gut hire because you are basically not using all of the process of hiring. You're just going with this gut feeling that this person will be amazing. Now, once in a while, it works out. Just like you hear those exciting stories of someone who got married on their first date. Yeah, once in a while, it works out. But most of the time it doesn't. And what ends up happening is that warm, cozy feeling you had that first time you talked to them transfers into frustration, anger, and lots of breakdowns and disappointments because you didn't go through the process of really making sure all of the right factors match. In the Build Your Dream Team, one of the things that I teach is you have to get really clear what's important to you, not just about you and the position, but having someone for the long term. And what are the important factors that you need to make sure you're a match on? Okay, so it's not just about hiring someone that makes you feel all warm and cozy and you're like, oh my God, they're amazing. Yeah, they might be amazing, but that's because they may actually be just like you. We don't want to hire mini-me's. We want to hire someone that's the right position, that's the right fit for the role you're trying to hand off. And that means you got to take a little time. I'm a big fan of interviewing at least 3 people and go through the process. Your gut is only one of 3 or 4 really important pieces of information. I do want you to use your gut, but not just your gut. Okay, so that's mistake number 1. The second mistake is what I call the drop and run method. All right, so I'm talking to the fast-paced, impatient entrepreneurs, the people who are running at the speed of light and don't want to slow down. And you know this is you if you dread having to teach somebody else how to do the things you need them to do. I completely get it. And I kind of think maybe you do what I used to do and you live in this little bit of a fantasy in your mind. Like if you hire the right person, they're just going to figure it out. Well, yes, they might, but at what cost? This takes me back to my very first corporate job. And I was hired, put in a cubicle, given a document to review, and was told to do something ridiculous. I don't even remember what it was, but I literally spent a week feeling lost, confused, and having no value whatsoever. And for the first 6 months, I really had no idea what I was supposed to do because that was pretty much the extent of my training. This was a major Fortune 500 company that had hired me, and I had no idea what I was doing. And guess what? Eventually, my boss was calling me into his office saying, "You're not performing at the level you should." And I said, "Yeah, I don't even know what you want me to do." We definitely had an issue because he did the drop and run training method. He literally dropped me in and said, "Go figure it out," but he didn't even tell me what my role was, what the expectations were, and he didn't even give me any goals. This is what entrepreneurs who are moving really fast often do to their greatest hire, is they expect them to figure stuff out on their own, and they don't give them enough training to be effective quickly. Now, I teach profitability in your hiring, which means I have a very specific way of onboarding your team members. So not only do they know what to do, but they're clear on the expectations and the goals, so they can perform well. And it does mean you're going to have to slow down a little bit. But if we go back to my first coach's advice, if you slow down, you actually speed up. It was some of the most brilliant advice he ever gave me. Well, he gave me a lot of great advice, but that was one that definitely stuck with me in the sense that if we slow down and we do something right, we will actually get better results. Because what happens is your team member is wasting time. They're not producing results. You're starting to wonder why things aren't getting done. And they're feeling like, I don't even know what I'm supposed to do. Or if you've hired a virtual contractor who serves multiple clients, they're off focusing on the place that they can do what they know to do. And they're waiting for you to give them more information. I have worked with a lot of entrepreneurs who tell me, like, I've hired this virtual assistant company and I'm paying them every month. I don't even know what they're doing. I've never really given them anything. That's ridiculous. It's not profitable. So take some time to actually outline A, what you need to get off your plate. You can go back to my episode 38 on the secret to getting 10 times more done and follow that process. Make sure you're giving your team the things that you can't do well or that you don't ever have time for so they can at least take those things off your plate. I don't care where you start, but make sure that, first of all, you're clear on the expectations and what you want them to be doing. And secondly, where are all the pieces and parts that they're going to need to do their job well? Have an onboarding process. Give it at least 2 weeks of full-on training and have a staged 90-day escalation of what you expect them to take more and more ownership of. So drop and run training. It's costly. It won't really produce great results. And you're most likely going to get frustrated and feel like you hired the wrong person, even though ultimately you just didn't train them well. Now, I will give you one exception. If you've hired an expert, meaning you're following my Build Your Dream Team process of you hire an expert who literally can jump in and should be telling you what to do, then that this kind of, replaces your training process because they should be training you on what they need from you to basically jump in and run. That's the exception to the rule. So let's get to mistake number three, and that is you allow your impatience to be the leader. So let's go back to that high achieving, fast paced person. Maybe you are what I call a busy addict. You always have way too much on your plate. You're a serial entrepreneur and you've got 3 or 4 or 5 or 7 different businesses. What I've noticed is a key characteristic is impatience. And it may be impatience in the sense that you don't want to have to slow down to get things done through someone else. So you tend to have really high expectations of how people will keep up with you. And it may be the impatience of, all right, I've kind of told this person several times what to do, and now I'm impatient because they're not getting it. Impatience is never going to serve you. And I always tell my clients, listen, if you're impatient, it's on you, not on your team member. I've worked with people who they get frustrated and they're a little abrupt and harsh with somebody when they're going to train them on something else. They kind of demean the other person, like, how come you haven't got this yet? Listen, that impatience is on you. And when you allow your impatience to be the leader, you are actually creating this tension with your team that will cause them to not want to be there eventually. Even if they get that you don't mean it and they don't take it personally, it will erode trust and it will demean their self-confidence. And guess what? It's not fun to be impatient because you're frustrated all the time. You're feeling like, what is wrong with everybody around me? Well, I want you to point that finger back to you and say, why are you so impatient? What is it that has to happen so quickly that you can't slow down enough to get this right? That you can't slow down enough to really honor the difference in someone else's pace? Let me let you in on a little secret. If you've done a good job of hiring and you are a fast-paced entrepreneur, then the person you hired, because they are so good at implementation and you're so good at ideas and creativity, you will, by sheer nature, have to slow down for them. Because implementers move slower than creatives. It's part of the way they process the world. They slow down to make sure they have everything figured out. And you want that. You need to appreciate that they move slower than you. You need to have respect and appreciation for the fact that they are willing to figure out all the details that you're skipping because you're in such a hurry to get more stuff done. Impatience does not help you build a profitable team. It does not help you build a productive team. It just creates tension. So when you catch yourself being impatient, I really want you to check yourself and say, what's going on with me that I'm being impatient with this person? Am I moving too fast? Am I so caught up in my, I need to get to that next thing that I'm having a hard time slowing down to be present? Am I multitasking? And I really should say, let me get back to you. I need to finish what I'm doing so I can be fully present with your question. Or do you simply have the wrong people on your team who cannot hold space for you properly? And you're literally putting up and tolerating someone who's not a good fit. That's possible too. Really look at what impatience is trying to teach you. And don't let impatience be one of your defining characteristics. Be willing to slow down a little bit so you can speed up results because you're laying a great foundation with your team. Now, let's talk about mistake number four. And I call it running the high-speed train. And here's why this is a mistake. Okay, I've already told you about slow down and speed up. My first coach told me I was a bull in a china shop. I was always going way too fast and breaking too many things. Well, see, when you're always on the high speed train and you don't slow down a little bit, what happens is you tend to move so quickly that you don't understand why other people are moving at a different speed. And it causes you to actually have so much going on and you have so many different opportunities, so many different ideas, so many different things you want to get done in record time. And again, if you've hired properly and you have people who are implementers, they will be overwhelmed all the time. So there's a fine balance, a really delicate balance between all the ideas you have and the speed of implementation. And really understanding what's possible through your team. And sometimes that's going deeper into the conversation with your team of saying, what's really realistic for us to be able to implement in any given month? And checking yourself and saying, if I'm going to have all these ideas, I have to be willing to prioritize or reprioritize with my team. Remember that woman I told you who was always blowing up her team and really frustrated, who kept coming back for more coaching, trying to figure out how to make her team better? Well, ultimately it was her. She literally would come in every day with 10 new ideas and she expected her team to drop everything and get the next set of ideas done. She didn't have appreciation and context for how long things actually took. So the key was really going deeper with her team and understanding these kind of ideas, here's the process we need to go through, here's how we have to prioritize, and understanding that there is a balance between scope, time, and cost. Here's what that means. If you have a certain amount of things you want to get done, which is scope, and you have a limited number of time, you have to be willing to increase the resources and/or the amount of revenue you're willing to invest to get it done, if you want it done faster. Or you have to accept that it might be slower to achieve. There's a little project management trick I learned back in my corporate days of recognizing that when people want more stuff, but they're not willing to increase the time, they've got to be willing to increase the number of people on the team to get it done. If you're not willing to do that, then you've got to compromise on time. You can't burn your team out. You can't expect them to burn the candle at both ends for long periods of time. A burned out team is mistake prone and grumpy. So don't do that to your team. Be willing to slow the train down and pick your highest value opportunities and focus on them. Come up with a filter for how you're going to assess new opportunities before you just drop them on your team and expect them to get things done in a crazy short period of time. So that's mistake number four. Now, the fifth mistake is one that not everybody makes, but a lot of people do, and that is micromanaging your high performers. It's really funny to me where there's two types of delegators that I run across. One type of delegator, actually there's three types. One is they delegate well, and they have a good balance between what they hand off and giving people enough autonomy to get it done right. And then there's the people that over-delegate, meaning they hand things off and they have no controls, they have no structure, and things kind of get lost out there. And they're like, whatever happened to that project? And so they've over-delegated to the point they have no control systems. And then there's the control freaks who micromanage. Now, people who are task-oriented, meaning they need you to drive them forward and tell them what to do every step of the way, they might need more micromanagement. But if you've done a good job of hiring and you've hired high performers and you micromanage them, they'll be gone. Okay, a high performer is willing to take ownership of a task or a role. They don't need to be micromanaged. As a matter of fact, when you micromanage a high performer, you're basically saying, I don't trust you, do it my way, I don't think you are talented. You're giving them these messages that really mess up their results-driven brain. So really get to know what you need. Do you need task people who require more management because you want to be more intimately involved? Or do you want to be less involved and you want to hand things off? And you want someone to be in ownership? Here's the key. You have to have control systems, meaning you have a project management tool, you have weekly meetings, you have a way to stay tuned into what's being accomplished, you have structure, but you let them go do it the way they do best so they can perform at the highest level. I've had quite a few clients come to me with performance issues with key team members. They're like, they're so talented, they're so good. Why do I keep bumping heads with them? So I ask them, how do they manage them? Sure enough, they're micromanaging their high performers. Now, here's some places you got to be really cautious of this. Salespeople. Salespeople tend to be results driven if you've hired right. You try to micromanage a salesperson, you're going to get really bad pushback and it's going to get ugly. You can't micromanage somebody who is more of a COO. You can set direction, you can have structure, you can have goals, you can have meetings for check-ins, you can have a way to check on their performance, but you can't micromanage them every day and make them do things the way you do them. An OBM, otherwise known as an online business manager, don't want to micromanage them. If you're hired right, they are really good at what they do. They should be Johnny on the spot or Jane on the spot and making sure that things are getting done for you. Okay, now here's why I suspect people micromanage. They're not clear what's getting done, and all of a sudden, they're starting to worry that money's going out the door and they're not seeing the results. So what that tells me, either you have the wrong person in the role, or you don't have clear expectations, or you don't have enough structure on your check-in process so you know where things are at. The second two are they're all fixable. You can let someone go if they're not the right fit, or put them in a role that's a better fit. But all three of those things are fixable. So figure out why you're micromanaging and get a system in place or get the right person in place that really can be more autonomous. These are some of the biggest mistakes I see people making. And guess what? None of them really have to be mistakes that cost you your bottom line. They don't have to cost you traction. They don't have to cost you results. I think you just need to be aware of what you're doing so you can do a better job of hiring the right people, training them to perform well, and ultimately letting go so you can grow. So you can put your time and attention back on the things that only you can do. Now, I've mentioned a couple of resources in today's episode. You can always grab them in the show notes on melaniebenson.com/blog. And remember, your business can only amplify when you make the decision to make it better. All right, we'll see you again next week. Bye for now.
You've been listening to the Amplify Your Success podcast with your host, Melanie Benson. Want to get connected to other thought leaders and visionaries transforming the world? Join the free Amplify Your Success community at amplifyyoursuccesscommunity.com. And you can quickly find all the resources from today's episode on Melanie's blog at melaniebenson.com/blog. Just put today's episode number in the search bar. Now choose to get amplified today. See you next week.